15 ring dips, and then the first round was 15 squat cleans at 95. And then each round the squat cleans go down by 2, but the weight goes up. So it's like 15 squat cleans at 95.
How many rounds? At
4 rounds. 13 at 135, 11 at 155, and 9 at 175 at the end.
You just did it?
Like a couple hours ago, but it was like one of those ones that when I finished, I was just wrecked. I just sat there for a minute on the floor.
Like wrecked, like you didn't feel good, or wrecked like you need a nap?
Like I needed a nap. Like it was like everything I had left. And like usually I'll pop back up and get a ton of energy. But after that one, I was just like,
isn't it weird? There's two kind of wrecked. There's wrecked like, hey, I don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Something's not right. And then there's wrecked like, fuck, dude, like I need a nap.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm just like, just beat.
Barry McCockiner, why so late? Yes, Barry, why so late? Eric, tacos with Greg Glassman. No, not today, but I'd like to. They're fitting in the shows around my coaching and sleep schedule for once. We absolutely are. Jeffrey Birchfield, hey, what's up? Late night, late night. Asymmetric Gears, when I rewatch the live show, I keep wanting to comment, then I realize I'm an idiot. Okay. Jeffrey Birchfield, ha, mad team. Can we please hit 28K today? Jesus. Rambler, a poor couple, a wife with long hair and a man with golden watch for their anniversary. Man wanted to give her wife a hair comb for her long hair, but the wife wanted to get a nice bun up shirt for... You fuck. Why'd I read all that? And it doesn't... I don't even get it. Clock. It'd watch any recorded live stream. The impulse to blurt out shit in chat is too powerful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I sat in my kids' jiu-jitsu class today, and I answered more than 200 messages.
Wow.
That's DMs, why you're, and you could probably tell because your shit got all fucked up.
Yeah.
I push all that shit fucking upstream to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just messages, not even DMs, messages, iMessages. Just, I went back like a week.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, there's a dude, Derek. I think he used to work out in Africa. Now he's in Boston somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't want that dude to slip through the cracks. Anyway, whatever.
Okay, cool. We get him set up.
It's one of the 500 text messages I forwarded, took pictures of, or sent to you in the last hour. Sevon's caffeinated. You know what I did? I did 3 years of not eating for 36 hours, muscle manos, one day a week.
Yep.
So, and then basically... I stopped doing that for, I don't know if this is true, but I think I stopped doing that for 9 months to a year. And now today's my first, I'm going to do it again. I just need to get back to it. So today's my first day. So I did drink a little more coffee than normal today. I've really cut back my coffee for some reason. I don't know why, but today I had 3 cups.
Fired up.
Yeah. So I'm pretty fired up.
That's cool. I did one day of Ramadan.
Congratulations. To show that you're not Islamophobic?
Yeah, obviously, that was the main reason. But the secondary reason was that I was talking to one of my members about it. And she does it every single year. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of envious of that practice. She's like, do it. If you do it for one day, I'll make you like some of the traditional foods and like bring it all to the gym so you could break the fast and everything. And I was like, okay, cool. And she did. She made this like traditional soup and like all these other dishes. And it was awesome. Wait.
What's the deal? You can't eat when you're. The sun's out.
Or drink.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So I had to get in 5:30 a.m. class, had my cup of coffee and a cup of water, and then that was it. I didn't eat again until evening time or drink any water. Water was the hard part.
And you did that workout.
Yeah. This wasn't today, but this was last week. Yep.
Normally when I have fasting days, if I fuck up, like I'm super compassionate with myself. So let's say if I'm walking by the kids food and I throw a piece of cantaloupe in my mouth and I'm like, shit. But if it's already in my mouth, I swallow it 100% of the time. Today I picked up an apple and I took like 2 chews in the morning, like an apple slice that was like left on the counter, like half eaten. And I remembered and I spit it out.
good on you.
Ramadan fasting is soft. John the Boss Young. Oh, did he say that? We are going to do the Dave Castro Weekend Review. It came out earlier today. It is a long one. But before we do, you should know that Jeff Berman will go against Colton Mertens for the title for the fastest burpees in the world on Wednesday. And after they set the record, you guys will come with your wallets in hand and you will watch Tim Murray, the fittest man alive in the dwarf division, with Taylor Self, myself, I don't know who else hosting, probably John Young. and we will watch live Tim Murray go at it. And if he beats them, CA Peptides will give him $1,000. But I'm hoping we raise $1,000 in the chat. And Jeff Berman will be here tomorrow. They had Jeff Berman on the Training Think Tank podcast today.
Wait, is it Jake Berman?
What did I say?
You said Jeff. Am I screwing it up?
I went to the very first girl I ever kissed was named Tracy Munoz. I think I was a sophomore in high school. And right after I kissed her, like our tongues touched. And right after we kissed, she said, "This means nothing to me." And I was infatuated with her, right? I was in love with her. And she ended up dating this guy named Jeff Berman for the remainder of her, like, forever. And he was older and he could drive. And
What an asshole.
It was just like, fuck.
He was cooler. I picture him with a leather jacket and like a pack of smokes rolled up.
No. He was more like, he was a dork.
Oh.
Yeah. He was more like a guy who, you know what? He was a dork and he had his shit together. And I realized, oh, she was hot. But she was the kind of girl who liked a guy who had his shit together.
Mm.
She didn't want a guy who took the fucking homeless route to becoming rich.
Joke's on her then, huh?
I guess.
Miss Munoz.
Yeah, she was cool. I think she would have been way too much of a handful for me.
Mm.
I just wanted
a girl, you mean?
Yeah, I just wanted a girl like I could shower with and go to the movies with.
Yeah. No other obligations.
I got that in my wife.
Perfect.
Olivia, I'm into dorks. Oh.
Whoa. Switching up on the photo there.
Okay. One of the greatest content creators in the space today, the irony is this guy, it's CPT, right? Or yeah. CTP.
Look at that angle. CTP.
CTP.
Yeah.
CTP. Legend in the space. And he did and this Training Think podcast is a big podcast in the space. They got big numbers, very well respected. Not a lot of crossover, I think, between this podcast and that podcast. Those people are more serious. That's where the dorks hang out more like. Yeah. I think that's like the dork place. But everyone, very well respected people on the podcast, the guy who looks like Ken, Max El Haj, and then this dude, everyone fucking loves this dude, CTP. And so, what's funny is normally for years he's been hidden and no one could see him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty legendary in the space, especially the podcast space. He's as fucking legendary as you get in the CrossFit podcast space for years and years. And the irony is he fucked up the show today. And he's on it, but he forgot to turn on the camera that was on Berman and Max El Haj. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, yeah. So what's this angle he's got here? Was this some salvaged?
Yeah, it must have been just some camera that was hooked up that he forgot to prop up that's just sitting there, right?
Oh, my goodness.
But the irony is he was, whenever they would cut to his camera, remember, he would be behind a monitor. Anyway, so I want to play this clip for you before we get into the Dave thing, and then we'll get to the Dave thing. So, Sevan, are your ears cold? No, but my wrists are.
Oh, those are the new CEO wristbands?
Vindicate.
Damn.
God, I love my Matuthian. Hey, Jeffrey Birchfield's like, this stuff is interesting.
Great reveal. Like,
I just want to write back, fuck you.
Pour it out and buy another bottle.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Listen up closely here. Okay. So they did a podcast today, with Jeff Berman, and Jeff Berman will be on the show tomorrow, coming into enemy territory. And this is because we know the Sevan podcast is home of the Colton Merton fan club. This is them talking about the origins of the comp, like why the heat built up between Colton and Jeff, and they're basically they're doing their part to hype up the show that will be on the Barbell Spin tomorrow. No, Wednesday at 4:30. Okay. Here we go.
Hacking Jake.
Well, that's, but I guess it's thing. One in the same.
None of us know. So we're all sitting here like, huh, where did that come from? I mean, good on him. It was pretty funny stuff.
And then Sevan said on his thing, he's like, well, Max, you took a big loss on this. I was like, that's like the equivalent of a street fight of somebody like.
Listen, Max, I would never use that term, took a big loss or the big L. I don't even talk like that. I don't use fucking sportscaster, fucking Lone Ranger vernacular. For starters, Max El Haj, legendary coach at the training think tank with such greats as Alexis Raptis, Travis Mayer, Sarah Sigmund's daughter, etc. Travis Mayer. But listen, what I did say is that Matt, how cool is fucking Max? He leaned into it and actually put Corpus Anus in his bio. So you have that. You have that mistaken, my friend. I was complimenting you, Max El Haj. He was on this podcast. It was fucking weird.
That was a long time ago, yeah?
I know, but it was weird. It was weird. Oh, he's unsteerable. He's unsteerable. Jake is his name. His name is Jake. Jake Berman, yeah.
That's what he said.
I'm just scarred from Jeff Berman because he got Tracy Munoz. You heard the fucking story?
Oh, you know what? I don't know about this. That's not a good story for the lead up.
Which one?
Because now what happens if Jake ends up winning this whole thing? You're going to disassociate him with Jeff and you're going to be like, not again, Jeff.
Oh,
son
shit.
Of a bitch.
Oh, shit. Two Jeff Bermans fucking break my heart.
Let's hope Colton's going to put an end to this and then Tim Murray's going to fuck them all up.
Hey, the thing is, the Sourced Anus podcast, the thing is, the podcast is a little trippy. I don't know if I'm glad I listened to it. I don't know if I should tell you what they reveal in the podcast.
Oh.
But Jeff Berman, Jake Berman is, he's a beast for following through with this. He got some shit going on.
Oh. There's like a backstory to him, is what you're saying?
Yeah, like this is no joke what he's doing. I don't think he's going to compete this year. He's got issues.
Oh.
And so the fact that he's not tapping and getting a sub to go against Colton is pretty gnarly.
Wow. What a warrior.
So yeah, fuck find out you, about Sousa. His name is Jeff now, yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Jeremy World, if Jake loses, he must change his name to Jeff. Yeah. The Sorest Anus podcast. My God. Anyway, I just wanted to clear the air. I didn't want anyone to think I love me some Max L. Haj. Okay. Dave Castro, we can review at 1.25 time.
Ooh, we got a long one.
Someone told me that Dave, this is a pretty weird. The Dave Castro thing's pretty weird. He's in a bad mood today.
Oh,
the fuck is Elmer Fudd wearing? What is he trying to steal my? That's what happens when you get sponsored by GoRuck.
Oh boy.
Here we go. The Dave Castro at the famous CrossFit Ranch. Action.
April 8th, 2024. With team quarterfinals out, it seems like CrossFit has programmed several repeated movements from the open. Most podcast talking heads have said this seems a bit uncreative and not a well-balanced test to get to semis. Do you have any response or opinions on the reason to repeat so many movements? Well, with the team events, it's a little, it's challenging to do a lot of things at this stage because of the nature of the team stuff and have them logistically work out. So that's one consideration. But another piece is this foundational movements in CrossFit, and this is a significant piece, that are okay and worth repeating on a regular basis, and even in this online phase. Furthermore, on that statement, these things being able to be easily judged by others or people within your gym or head judges or to whatever filming standard we're asking or judging standard we're asking, there's movements that are better for that than others. So meaning, yes, introducing a lot of new movements at this stage or radically changing them would be what it seems people might want to see, or sometimes they'd like to see, but it's not necessarily the right application for the test or for the logistics and the ability of the test and the actual ability to execute on the test. So this isn't just a workout you're gonna do in your gym with your teammates to train. This is an actual test that has to be judged and conducted in a set time frame with set movements. So I don't think it's uncreative. I think you can be creative and still see the same movements. There's different looks and different expressions. It goes back to like this criticism about how 0.1, 24.1 and 24.2 were so similar. Again, like people are looking at the couple things that there were similarities with and not looking at the big picture and how different they truly were. At Michael Brink.
Have you looked at the team quarterfinal workouts?
I have. I've glanced at them. Not enough to like recite them back here, but.
As the famous Pedro White would say from Coffee Pods and Wads, why? You fucking break. Don't ever ask him about teams ever again. Don't ask him about masters, adaptive, teams, or teens. This is fucking Dave Castro. The fuck gives a fuck about team quarterfinals? Is Rich Froning competing this year on the team?
I don't think so.
Yeah, who gives a fuck then?
Yeah, I don't think so.
5761. Hi, Dave. The general consensus among top athletes is the Open doesn't matter. An idea I had was that you notify athletes before the season starts that event one of either the semifinals or the games would be your Open score. I.e., if you finish fifth in your region amongst the people competing at your semifinal, then you would automatically take fifth place on event one at that semifinal. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you. Great idea. Never would have thought of that. You should do CrossFit Games. CrossFit should have a competition. It should be called CrossFit Games. Holy fuck. Once a year, we'll crown the fittest. Like, come on, dude.
Matters less these days than it has in the past, for sure.
I don't want to hear any of your... get some friends and share your ideas with your friends. That's what I have to listen to 12 fucking knuckleheads every day fucking talking about how they would fix the games, and it's fine. It's fine on my little text thread. Don't bug Dave with that shit. If you don't know him and you can't say it to his face, quiet. Dave@CrossFit.com, email his ass.
It's not always going to be that way. We will make it matter again. More so, it still matters. You still need it to advance. You still need to do well. But there was a time frame when, several years ago, when yes, it did matter a lot more. I wouldn't say it doesn't matter. You still need it to advance, and then you still need to do well, exceptionally well at quarterfinals. But we have plans to fix that.
Whoa. Well. People have accused me of asking stupid questions too, and I always go, but the answer was fucking great, and we wouldn't have gotten that answer. So I want to take back everything I said and thank that person for asking a dumb question, because we got an amazing fucking answer. So the open is going to matter again. He's going to make America great again. Does that mean, did he just say he's going to vote for Trump? But
there's nothing smart about you, Joe. So we built the greatest economy in history. We closed it down because of the China plague. And he wants to close down he will shut it down again. He will destroy this country.
You can't fix the economy until you fix the COVID crisis. And he has no intention of doing anything about making it better for you all at home.
No, people want their schools open. They don't want to be shut down. They don't want their state shut down.
Thank you. Thank you, President Trump. And good thing we fixed the COVID crisis.
Nailed it.
I think Dave just admitted he's voting for Trump, by the way, when he said, we're going to make the Open great again.
Is that what he said? That was what was implied there.
That's what I heard verbatim.
He's a clue guy. You got to read between the lines. So,
yeah. All right. Here we go.
At the Cheerio 27. I never signed.
The Cheerio, huh?
I love when he just reads those names just as
the Cheerio, huh? You know what the Cheerio is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Did you know that before the Sevan podcast?
No.
Me neither.
No.
And your wife just thinks you're fucking around on a show, but we're learning shit.
Every day. Vocabulary is growing.
Signed up for the Open since 2012 because there's always weights selected that was not accessible to my strength capabilities. I love this year's programming for it's inclusive programming, and 3 weeks is very appropriate to cater to the CrossFit community. You failed to address that prior to the Open, which left Rich Froning's protesting its simplistic nature of movements. Next year, advertise it more as a 3-week Open for the majority, meaning programming is accessible, challenging, of course. Well, see, I've always viewed it that way. I think it's always been, the Open programming has always been for the majority, and at times there's moments where the elite can separate themselves or excel. And also, even in the simplistic programming or the base workouts, the elite and the best in the world have a chance to separate themselves just through their scores. Complexity, not through movements and gimmicks, but actually making it difficult through intensity. So we're trying to make a lot of these difficult through intensity. And I think we've accomplished that this year and also through all the other previous years. When you look at a majority of the programming for the Open throughout the years, there is very much everyone can do them for the most part, except there might be points where people couldn't. So, and even the weights have always been pretty reachable by the average man except for when you get to a certain point, maybe you had to do more. So I appreciate the comment, but I do disagree with it. And thank you for signing up for the Open. At Corey.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Listen, the Open was fucking perfect. Perfect. Sevan, do you take credit for Patrick Bet David's success? The $150 million he made for the fucking runaway success that his podcast is? No. I don't even take even, if anything, I slowed him down.
We tried to throw a roadblock.
I know. If anything, when he came on this show, he shit the bed. No, fuck. God. I just wish I could get him on again. I wish I used to text him from the big account, and the big account is long gone. I used to DM him from the big account. So I just wish I had that. Enough with the advice for Dave on shit. Everything's good. Here we go.
Hey, Looney. Hey, Dave. Love these videos. Thanks for all the updates. In the spirit of shouting out CrossFit methodology and how much it works, wanted to give a shout out to my mom, Betsy Looney, who just competed her 13th Open this year in the women's 65 plus category and in 24.3 did over 30 pull-ups, the most she's ever done in a single workout.
Wow.
She got me into CrossFit in 2011, where I then went on to coach, own an affiliate, compete at regionals, but honestly think it's so cool that CrossFit keeps her fit and has her continuing to hit PRs. The best. Thanks again for everything you do.
So this guy went from being on having direction in his life to make a six-figure salary, and his mom got him into CrossFit, and he opened a gym. Yep. That's all.
Yeah.
Fuck, who needs a mom like that? Damn, sorry, dude.
Worst financial decision mom has ever steered him into.
Yeah, fuck, I'm so sorry, dude. All right, but congratulations on the 30 pull-ups she got.
Hey, but congrats, you're in the Open.
Yeah.
Super great, super cool story. So Betsy, this Corey's mom, completed her 13th Open. That's amazing. And in this year, in the women's 65 plus category, in 24.3, she did over 30 pull-ups, the most she's ever done in a single workout. Another great story. I love hearing these. It's the strength and power of CrossFit, and specifically the methodology. So, Corey, thanks for sharing that story.
Oh, that was nice. He repeated it here. In summation, I would like to tell you the salient points.
Summed it up for us nicely.
You ever heard a 65-year-old woman do 30 pull-ups in a workout at your gym?
No, not RX.
Well, it's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, I got an 83-year-old man who does strict pull-ups at the gym.
No shit.
Yep.
So if it was a 6-round workout with 5 pull-ups around, he'd finish it.
Knocks him out. When I first met him in his mid-70s, he was still rope climbing, which just made me nervous as fuck. But you weren't going to tell him what he was doing. He was still.
He does the pull-up strict?
Yeah.
Yeah, at 80, you don't fuck around. You don't kib.
No. No, 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 no. Kipping. Strict pull-ups for him. Strict pull-ups for Pete.
Big Baca, I gained 2 inches of girth doing my 9th CrossFit Open. Oh. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Weird photo there. It's like a combo between you and Hiller or something.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Kind of trippy.
Jesus, criming. 78-year-old did Jackie RX today. Wow.
That's awesome.
Which one's is Jackie the wall balls?
No. 1,000-meter row, 50 thrusters, but the barbell, 30 pull-ups at the end.
No, come on. No 78-year-old did that. Shut the fuck up. You mean scaled. Come on, dude. Come on. We're telling stories that are believable. I can do dead hang pull-ups. Well, good. Hope so.
Awesome rambler.
Sevy, the honey potter tricked us into getting excited about the Open by him pretending to be excited for the Open. I don't know if that's true.
You were genuinely excited about the Open.
I was really excited about it.
And then the first workout wasn't inclusive enough for you.
Yeah. I just, the workouts were so stupid. I just couldn't do them. Oh my God. I just couldn't.
Oh my God, I'm panicking.
I panicked. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Your mom's kicking ass. At Danny B 2005. Hey, Dave, always appreciate these. Curious what translation version of the Bible you're reading. NIV, New International Version. And that was a whole journey. When I went to the bookstore, I went to Barnes & Noble to buy a Bible, and I saw all these different versions. And I was like, okay. I stepped away. I went home, started researching online, I thought the New International Version looked appropriate. So then I went back to Barnes & Noble and bought one of those. At Michael Red Rock.
Oh my God, this is so sweet what Ken said. Don't worry, Sevi. Good attempt at it. We know you did workout one. Good job getting your score in. Workout two, we know you were traveling, and workout three you pushed out on. But don't worry, buddy. There's next year. And we really, you're really, it's really cool that you did it for the first time in fucking 25 years. That's really cool. You the man. Keep going, Sevi. We got your back. Ken Walters. Oh, fuck. I can't believe he typed all that out. That's so sweet.
Such a good dude.
Yeah. Fuck.
Could really tell how much he cares.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't even think anyone would notice. I didn't even know you cared. Yeah, it's crazy. So cool. You're welcome. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's so cool. Mason Mitchell, Sevi, all that matters is that you gave it your best. Don't worry. We're all here for you. As long as you don't feel lonely in this community of love and warmth and appreciation. Oh, my God. That's so cool. Thank you.
Yeah, see,
you're a dog.
Sporty Beth tried to say this was the toxic community too. What did she know?
You're very consistent. You're very consistent. I appreciate it. Oh my God. A Rambler. Sevi, you're the funniest guy on the internet today. Keep it up. Andrew Dice Clay has nothing on you. Oh my God. You guys stop. You're embarrassing me.
You can't even tell. It's so deep. You can see how deep it is. Oh, my gosh.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. All right, fine. Be that way.
Damn.
Be that way. Okay, here we go.
1-1-1-3. From CrossFit Globe, Cobre Valley in Arizona. We are so blessed to have the Walkers as our coaches in the small town. Drop in if you're ever in the neighborhood. Reading keeps your brain in good working order. Sharing what you read with others is generous and kind. Keep it up. Yeah, reading totally keeps your brain in good working order. It also, it's a way to disconnect from everything else going on. It's a way to exercise your brain. It's a way to just educate yourself. There's so many benefits that come from it. I don't need to reiterate what he just said. Reading keeps your brain in good working order. Sharing what you read with others is generous and kind. At BM Claflin, those who value animals more.
Just a fluff question. He's got a lot of fluff questions in here today.
More than people are a special type of twisted. At Dan Taylor, 1991. Hi, Dave. You talked about 1 hour training not being effective for strength work and Metcons as enough. It's too much to cram in. Do you think lifting strength work should be separated into two sessions for most effectiveness? Example, 1 hour 30 lifting strength in the AM and in the PM 30 to 45 minutes Metcon cardio work, or mix both together over 2 hours. Last questions. What are your thoughts on high rocks and athletes moving over such as Mal O'Brien and Christy O'Connell? So on the 1 hour of training not being effective for strength work in Metcons and it being too much to cram in, absolutely, for an overwhelming majority of average CrossFitters or average people getting into CrossFit, or just to some extent, some people who are at a high level, 1 hour is totally enough. And doing one session, either, you know, a constantly varied function movements at high intensity with call it a traditional CrossFit workout and or a strength session in isolation, one or the other, is more than you need. Now, here's the thing. You're taught let me say this. When you start combining those two in a 1 hour crammed class in an affiliate session, the intensity on one of them is going to give. And also, you're doing a lot for people who might not be ready for that volume or that amount of work. Are there people who can handle that in 1 hour? Absolutely. Are there people who can do all of that and do it, do both of them with a high level of intensity? Sure. They've also put in a lot of base time. They've also trained for a long time. But a majority of people,
they're also on steroids.
I do not think that's appropriate. Also, a strength session, you know, a lot of the ways you see these expressed, they're expressed in like a 20-minute window or a 15-minute establish your one rep max or work to a heavy. And problem with that is those sessions, you look at powerlifters or weightlifters, they spend a whole hour or more just on doing that, giving the lift the right amount of rest. And that's how some CrossFit gyms, that's how old school CrossFit gyms do prescribe it. A thorough warm-up, the lift with plenty of rest, and then a thorough cool down. When you have the Metcon, and then you have the lifting all crammed.
I mean, he just said it. Listen, the greatest way to work out, and everyone fucking knows it, unless Susan's going to slap me around, is you come in and you warm up, and you warm up with some sort of fucking technique. While you're warming up, you work on fucking technique. So you either make sure you work as you're doing the slow squats, 10 slow squats, you work on your form. you stay conscious. If you're working on snatches, whatever you're working on, you warm up with slow fucking technique, and then you jump in, you fucking do a workout. And that's it. And you just constantly, and you should be working on your technique. If you, I mean, that's how I would fucking run an affiliate. The year that I taught classes at the park, that's how I did it, and it was fucking great. And most people, to be honest with you, don't need any fucking strength work. Strength work is more just like fun. It's just fun. It's just a place to fucking take a break for your fucking class. You throw it in one day a fucking week. But no one, 99% of the people don't need any fucking strength work because CrossFit's so fucking hard and you're going to get plenty strong.
Interesting.
I won't even ask Susan. I don't even get in trouble.
1 hour, there's a compromise. And oftentimes the compromise is coaching and the compromise is technique work. And people cram up the hour, keep people moving, and at the expense of giving feedback, of actually working with people, especially on the lift, in correcting their form. Now, the second part you said, do I think lifting strength work should be separated in two sessions for most effectiveness, 1 hour, 30 lifting strength in the AM and 30, 45 PM Metcon cardio work. Here's the thing. Who has time for that? Some people do. Some people create time for that. Some people, for their goals, want to work out that much. If you do, sure. But for a majority of the people going to affiliates, the hour that they put in at the affiliate is the only time they have. And unless you have specific competing goals or specific progress goals, because see, so it's not only about competing, it's also about progress. If you have individual performance and progress goals you want to meet and you think you can get there faster by doing more training throughout the day, sure. But I would never recommend it blindly without understanding the individual and what their current capabilities are. Now, for the professional athlete, basically, for the games level athlete, athletes that are competing to go to semifinals, yeah, those guys got to spend several hours a day training. And they can't just do 1 hour session and be fine. There are outliers. You'll hear stories of people who just do the hour class session and then make it to the semifinals, et cetera. But that's not the norm. So generally speaking, do not recommend, especially for new people or people who are, call it, recreational CrossFitters, just trying to live a healthier life, to cram in both sessions in 1 hour. Last questions. What's your thought?
Cram in both sessions in 1 hour. Okay.
It's on high rocks and athletes moving over.
That's a great word, right? Cram.
Yeah, he framed it that way so many times to make it seem like
cram in. I like that. Cram in.
Yeah. Well, Dave's probably done at least 10,000 CrossFit classes, right?
Cram in. 10 million.
10 million?
Yes.
CrossFit classes?
Yes. Cram in. I like that. Cram in. Sevan's idea of strength is 12 minutes on the assault bike instead of 10. Yeah. And with a 3 pound wrist weights. I use wrist weights for my heavy days. 3 pound wrist weights. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Such as Mal O'Brien and Christy O'Connell. I mean, what's that mean, even moving over? I don't have many thoughts on that. I think that's cool if they go compete in other things. Christy O'Connell, I think she's like a sub 3 hour marathoner too. So she's a really fast runner.
Guys, listen, I'm going to tell you something about high rocks. We live in a fucking bubble. And just because we know like 10 people who did it, or like it spread, they have these events all over. We've seen all this before. We saw a Tough Mudder come and go. We saw that Vorax, whatever, Raghavan thing that Dave did. We saw Spartan Race come and go. It's like fucking nothing. It's where CrossFitters go to die. So professional athletes come to die and come to CrossFit, and CrossFitters die and go to Ho Rocks. In all fairness, it's nothing. It's like, it's fun. Go do it. Like, have fun. Do your thing. But it's not. There's no there. Like the bread and butter is CrossFit. You know, it's like there's all these saddle. You just have to see CrossFit's in the center, and then there's all this other shit for lazy CrossFitters, pussy CrossFitters, Olympic lifting, power lifting, just all like high rocks is just it's douchebaggery. I mean, Lance Armstrong probably is doing high rocks, exactly. And it's cool. It's cool that Hunter does it, but there's only one cool spot in high rocks, and it's at the very top, and everyone else is just like, you know,
it's like a weekend cruise you signed up for.
Yeah, it's a place to go express your cross. Yeah, it's a place to go express your CrossFit for a second and then come back.
Yeah, not hating on it, but it's not replacing anything. That's for sure.
Hi, Janelle. Oh, shut the fuck up now. Olympic lifting was around way before CrossFit. I understand, but the three of you that were doing it, no one knew who you fucking were.
Or cared.
Or cared. So thank you.
Let's be real about it.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Powerlifting, Olympic weightlifting, even gymnastics.
And listen, your friend's house where you did powerlifting, or that gym where that's really just a front to sell steroids, doesn't make it a legitimate sport. I know it's dope, right? Thank you. Send me your address. I'll send you one. You need one. Oh, James, we got to have you back on. I can't wait to hear how your foot race went. Fucking A. We tried to get him that weekend, right?
Yeah. Yep.
James, I'll text you after the show. Yeah. We got a little space this week to get him in.
We do.
That'll be good. He's good hype for the buildup of all the crazy shit we're doing this week.
Yep.
Okay.
Little quarterfinal.
I know this color is dope, right? Yellow or mustard? What did you call this?
Oh, I'd go with mustard, given the options.
All right. Thank you.
So I don't know much about High Rocks, but I know you have to be good at running for it. So it makes a lot of sense that she would do it. But yeah, training and doing other things is all good. But I don't have any, like, whatever. Who cares? Go compete in that. Compete in our stuff. Compete in everything. Compete. At Dan Gall 81. Hey, Dave, is there a reason we've never seen any kettlebell movements in the open or semi or quarterfinals? Yes. One reason is the year we introduced the dumbbell was a big deal, and people were able to run out to their local fitness stores or were more easily able to get dumbbells than they were kettlebells, especially at that time. So dumbbells are a little more common, and pretty much a majority of the movements that you could do with a kettlebell, you can do with the dumbbell. So I would say more CrossFit gyms have dumbbells than they do kettlebells. That's one major reason. And one, and since a majority of the movements can be done with the dumbbell that can be done with kettlebell, that's the other primary reason. So on the online stages, we probably won't have kettlebells in the near future. But at the other stages, in the in-person stages, sure, absolutely.
Unless there's a sponsor. Unless there's a big sponsor. I mean, shit, you got the bite. If you got the rower in there, you can, whatever.
Kettlebell. Yeah, I think the kettlebell is easy to access. I feel like you could probably get it somewhat locally for most places, and you know, you could obviously order it from Rogue. It's funny, I answered the last two questions on my show last week.
And we'll come back to that. Stand by, everyone. P break.
The information and content provided here are available to the information over the phone and are not intended as or to be considered substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Views and opinions expressed do not reflect those of medical professionals or medical community.
Duh. This is called Melanotan 2. It's supposed to accelerate tanning, and it's also supposed to increase sexual arousal. And I think that the second one is actually more of a side effect than it is the main goal. Everybody wants to know how to reconstitute these things. Remember, the first thing is that you need the bacteriostatic water. Second thing that you need to do is you are constantly using these alcohol swabs. Now here's the thing, you got two separate needles. Never reuse the same needle. So what I'm gonna end up doing is I'm gonna put 2 milliliters of water into there. But it's just sucking the water in there. Yeah, I'm not doing that. That's how you know that the peptides are good. Now, I'm insane, so I like to re-sterilize the top of it. I just put the pad on there and I just twist it. And I'm just gonna go right here, right next to my belly button. So I pull this out, put the tip in. Yeah, just the tip. Make sure there's no air bubbles in there. So you give it a flick, the bubbles rise to the top. Pull this out, and then I just stick it in my stomach right there. Very slight little pinch. It's like the world's smallest bee. It doesn't even matter. I'm done. Just like that.
And my bladder is empty. I don't want to ruin the when he comes on the podcast, but I think James said his third fastest in the nation, 35 to 39 age. Damn. And he hasn't done it in almost 20 years. Crazy. All right. Maybe James is going to do High Rocks next.
James, how about it?
I doubt it.
I'm bricked up now.
We have at 54C. Hi, Dave. Love how you drop in to support local affiliates. Have you ever considered doing this internationally, say in Asia or Australia? I've done it internationally, both in Asia and Australia and Europe and South America. Actually, not in Africa, though. I've never been to Africa. So I do drop in a lot internationally when I travel for CrossFit work and yes, I'll continue to do that. Also, would be great to bring back the CrossFit Invitationals. To me, that was a highlight of the season back when it was a thing. Yeah, it was a really cool event. I don't know if we'll bring it back.
Stupidest fucking event ever. Oh my god! Hey, that's got to be a European. No one in this. You went to it. And you liked it though too, right?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
God.
I mean, I don't. Whatever you guys spent on it, I'm sure wasn't worth me saying. Ah, that was cool. So I don't know if you could justify that, but it was big on in Europe. It's big in Europe.
Invitational, God. I like the Rogue Invitational because there's a point behind inviting those people. And I guess the Invitational, the point is inviting them by region, but it just does nothing for me.
Back, but.
And I don't feel like there's a lot on the line.
There's not a lot on the line. And at first, it was first of its kind because you got to see like the super teams form. Jason and Rich on the same team, you know, that type of stuff. So that's what made it really cool. I don't know if that moment in time still exists.
I always wanted, don't tell anyone this.
Okay.
I always wanted Rich and Annie to have a kid. I remember like in 2010 in Carson, and I saw these two kids playing, this little boy and little girl. The girl's wearing a Thor's Daughter shirt, and the boy's wearing a Froni shirt.
Wasn't that in a behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Played it in slow-mo.
Yep.
And I was like, God.
Yep.
I just, that was just that, like, you know what I mean? Well, they both won. They should get married and fucking have a kid.
For science.
Just whatever, just seems right.
Really enjoyed it. At Pulga 90p. Hi, Dave. Are you adamant on the...
I haven't ever thought that about two other champions since then.
Is that because they were the first repeat ones?
I don't know, maybe.
And you were like, these guys are the real deal here?
It was just so... it just seems so romantic and right for me. But he's married. She had a Frederick.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I never thought, like who won last year? Adler and what girl won?
Laura Horvath.
Laura Horvath. Yeah, like I never pictured them getting together.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be a weird kid. That's two weird people.
Wouldn't speak much, that's for sure. Yeah. Introvert 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
You should go to an affiliate statement. I'm a CrossFit level 3 trainer. Plan on doing my level 4. Been coaching and doing CrossFit for over 10 years. I own a...
These people who say stuff like, oh, have you ever thought about visiting affiliates in foreign countries? It's like, do you see the presupposition? I just don't like talking to people who speak in presuppositions because you got to like wind it back. Like, first of all, your question makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
Yeah. We had the same answer for that question, you and I.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this? Of course he will. If he's in the area, he stops by. He always does. Why would you even write this?
Yeah. First you make it. Just ask him what you want. Like my dad calls me and goes, so what are you doing? What do you need?
Don't ask me a loaded
question. What are you doing later on tonight? How about fuck you?
Got plans.
How about just tell me? How about just say what you called for? Hey, you want to come over and get some head? Sure. Come over and help me move? Not so much.
Got plans now.
Yeah, by the way, that's the definition of a loaded question. People ask loaded questions. Like, don't ask me any loaded questions. Just ask me what you want. Quit being a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Small box and where I stand, I no longer feel aligned with CrossFit HQ and don't feel comfortable giving my money to private equity. On the other hand, I have visited many affiliates from doing CrossFit for over 10 years. I own a small box, and where I stand, I no longer feel aligned with CrossFit HQ and don't feel comfortable giving my money to private equity. On the other hand, I have visited many affiliates where classes and coaching are shit, and even some affiliates where coaches say the L1 guide is nonsense. I believe that I am a great ambassador to the CrossFit ethos. Everything I do.
I would love to find out who those coaches are.
Yeah,
that's just a lie. No one thinks that.
Hypothetical.
Yeah, that's like so many people DM me and ask me where I get my nails done. No one fucking asked.
You guys have been DMing me like crazy about my new face cream.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
It's life force.
Dude, you wouldn't believe how many people ask me what kind of shampoo I use, Sousa. Oh my God.
Dude, because that's how level 1 guy told me to. I'm in charge of a thriving and happy community of 80 plus members, but because I'm not affiliated, would you just blindly discard the work I've been doing while blind?
I'm in charge. Does that mean he owns it? And I bet you the whoever owns the place doesn't think it's thriving with 80 members. It's like, whew, I'm barely hanging on.
Well, could be doing well, depending on your overhead costs.
Nope, good point. Look at you, back to math.
And with supporting affiliates who do a shit job and actually drive people away from CrossFit. So I'm not blindly discarding the work you've done, because it sounds like you've had a significant journey through our education. You care really.
Wait, was there a question in there?
Yeah, there was, but it was stupid.
Okay, so he's just taking a stab at it. Like, okay, yeah. I hear you. How about this? Yeah. I'll answer for you. This is the week in review for CrossFit. How about you fuck off and go talk to your unaffiliated group, whoever's the fuck is leading you. How about that for an idea? How about you don't? What are you doing? What are you doing? You don't feel aligned, but you feel some necessary. You find it necessary to fucking write to Dave. That'll cost you $4,500. You douche canoe. I mean,
about training and educating and the people you coach. So I'm not blindly discarding the work you've done while blindly supporting affiliates who do a shit job and actually drive people away from CrossFit. I'm supporting CrossFit affiliates, and I'm going to support affiliates who I believe will help people make a better difference. Your assertion there that I'm blindly supporting affiliates who do a shit job and actually drive people away from CrossFit, there are affiliates who are not as good as other affiliates. And instead of just shitting on them and say they drive people away from CrossFit, even those gyms have a thriving community of people that they are improving and making better. And it's on us to help make them better affiliates and make them better gyms to help keep people in the family. And also, honestly, it's also on the local gyms and affiliates in the surrounding.
You have to totally accept this guy's premise that he's the world's greatest coach and that he has a thriving community. And this is just fucking tarded.
Area, mm-hmm. Rather than just...
You know he makes a shitload of fucking money working for CrossFit. How about that for starters? And his salary's paid by affiliates. So if you want Dave to talk about your gym and push people into it, a former SEAL Team 6 operative, someone who's been at CrossFit for fucking 20 years, a guy who's incredibly generous with his time, then fucking affiliate. He happens to work for private equity now. I'm not like saying like, hey, I understand not wanting to give your money to private equity. It was really cool when Greg owned the company and he worked 365 days a year, 7 days a week, giving us messaging. That was awesome. But what do you want Dave to do? Quit?
Turning your back on an upcoming trainer or an affiliate who's not as good as they should be or working to be better. Mentoring and bringing them in and helping them become a better gym. But am I adamant to go back to your first statement? You should go to an affiliate statement or you should go to an affiliate. Absolutely. I am, because here's the deal. Even when finding a gym to send friends and family to, I'll explain my journey. I'll look at the CrossFit affiliate map. And then I look at the gyms in the area. I see what level qualifications everyone has. If I know trainers in the area, I'll ask.
And how about this? How about this? How about the fact that I'm willing to bet 2 inches off the top of my cock that if you go to an affiliate, you will get better service and training than if you go to a non-affiliate. How about that? How about relative to just where you go? Let's pick 100 non-affiliates randomly that supposedly teach CrossFit. We're going to start with the integrity of those people by doing that. And then let's do 100 affiliates. Let's see.
Little secret shopper action.
I mean, it's just, there's just like, even if this guy's telling the truth, it's just, I don't understand how this is the place to say all that. How about just, hey, I don't want to give my money to private equity, so I de-affiliated.
And I stopped buying every product around me.
And it sucks because I'm still in love with you, Dave. You're fucking awesome. And I stopped what? Buying what?
Every product around me.
Oh, right. Right. Oh, by the way, Matuthian is not owned by private equity yet.
That's right.
So.
Get it while it's hot.
I want to apologize for being so harsh to you, whoever you were. Please try Matuthian. Damn, I just alienated what a potential customer. Fuck, I need to know my customer base.
Son of a bitch. Man. It's all right. I already did it too. We'll talk about it after he finishes his
okay.
statement.
Okay.
ask around, but I'm looking for CrossFit affiliates, or people look still these days, people do look for CrossFit gyms to send people to, or when they're traveling to CrossFit gyms. You might, it sounds like you will have your level four in short order. You might be a great coach and have a great community and do wonderful things for people, but you'll never be found, at least in an example of this notion of I'm traveling somewhere or I'm sending someone to a gym. And this, I'm not alone in this. This is applied to thousands of other people because you're independent of CrossFit. So you're out on an island in your community. And that's one big benefit of being associated.
Bryant said he gets 100 visitors a month, walk-ins a month, because of he's a CrossFit gym.
Yeah, and he's in a vacation haven.
Right. I bet you it's the same in Vegas.
Yep. There's probably gyms that make a significant amount of the revenue off those drop-ins.
Yeah.
Is actually when people are looking for the training. Now, it's not to say anything about your training or that you're not a good trainer or that you don't have a great community, but I don't think I can say that statement and dismiss the word. I can say you should go to a CrossFit affiliate, and I do believe that, and not be dismissive of good trainers like you and others out there and people who are passionate about CrossFit but don't fly the flag on their gym. This point about you no longer feel aligned with CrossFit HQ and don't feel comfortable giving my money to private equity. I don't know why you don't feel aligned with CrossFit HQ. Maybe you can expand on that. And you don't feel comfortable giving your money to private equity. You're not giving your money to private equity. The money currently that any affiliate is paying isn't going to private equity. They'll see their return on investment in several years when they sell. Currently, the money you'd be paying for an affiliate fee is going back into CrossFit, and CrossFit is choosing what to spend that money on, where to reinvest it, what to build with. So I think you should disconnect from this notion that you're paying, if you were, because you're not, if you were to pay an affiliate fee, it's going right to private equity. No, if you're paying an affiliate fee, I mean, it's supporting everything that's going on in the ecosystem, in the HQ ecosystem, even the games to some extent, the affiliate team, all the operating aspects of the business, supporting, it's supporting our pay. I mean, it's supporting the whole CrossFit system. So it's not going.
You said the quiet part out loud. It's supporting my pay. I mean, our pay, it's running. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it, I mean, directly he's being truthful about it.
To private equity. Okay. Let me see.
A lot of shitty coaches in every sport. Yeah. Dude, look at gymnastics. There's some fucking wild shit going there. Swim coaches, water polo coaches.
Yeah. I mean,
anywhere there's women, there's shitty coaches.
I use the example of Starbucks, where it's like a low barrier to entry to make the thing. And it's one of the most highly controlled franchises that there is. And you're still going to have the one up your street that you like. And you're going to have the one on the corner that fucking sucks that you're not going to go to. Even though there's that super high level of control over it. Just, it is what it is. You're always going to have that.
Some have dirty needles in the bathroom. Some don't.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize, like, I don't think affiliate owners realize they're asking for, like, two separate things that are opposed to each other. So they'll be like, oh, why would I pay into an affiliate fee when, like, you know, this CrossFit gym sucks and this one doesn't, but I don't want to give my money to private equity or franchise. So it's like, well, what exactly do you have them to do? Do you not want the control over your gym and what happens? Then it is what it is. Some are going to be good. Some aren't going to be that great. Do you want more control over your gym? Because then now you're going to have to operate by their business model, and you're not going to have the freedom to run the gym that you want to. Like,
how about this? Hey, dude, that's cool. Good luck with that. That's awesome. I'm glad you're happy not paying your affiliate fees, and congratulations on taking your L4. Email me if you need any pointers on how to pass.
Yeah. Well, there was
that?
Two.
I just don't get where he wants Dave to go with that.
That's exactly the point that I made when I answered the question. I was like, what do you think he's going to say? Who are you asking? It was funny because there was somebody else who asked a similar question. And I did and it was the second one of these that came up. So I was like, oh, what the fuck? And I kind of ripped into the question, right? Then that individual commented on the show that I did and was like, hey, for what it's worth, if you read this, like they want to justify their position some more. And that's fine. I'm actually going to address it in tomorrow's show. But then they deleted their comment off of Dave's show, which I thought was funny.
Oh, they did delete it.
They did, but they said they deleted
it. Well, that's nice. That's kind of nice.
They're like, this question chair like clarifies what I meant to say much more than mine did. I deleted it off here, and then people kind of were going back and forth. So I was going to reach out and actually try to like respond to them, but I figured why do that? I'll just respond on the show.
Well done. Good job. And all transparency, Sousa's an affiliate.
Yeah. I'm biased.
There was something I wanted to read in here. Fuck, I lost it. Oh, I did Ramadan this year. Highly recommend, but be prepared. It's difficult.
That's funny. I did one day. I'm so weak. I did the scaled version.
Wow, Dick Butter.
Dick Butter. Long wow. time no see, buddy. Hope you're well.
Alejandro Ramirez, Sevan, you said in other episodes how you were also against public equity settling the NSCA case. Dude, what a fucking stupid thing they did. From the optics I have, complete, I mean, idiocy for so yeah. many levels. Reasons I don't, I'm even uncomfortable telling you here, but that's bite them in the ass. Okay, that's what I'm aligned with. What I want to get from Dave is if CF also supports coaches or only affiliates.
And that was a great question. Alejandro said something very similar on the show with me.
That's a very interesting question. I paid to take your course. Will you support me as I spread the methodology, even though I'm not an affiliate? So that's a totally fair question. I was just hung up on the fact that you're asking a guy who's getting paid by the company about his relationship. Maybe I would have just left out the private equity part. Maybe that's the part I was getting hung up on or triggered on. But that's a fucking great question.
I actually agree with that.
That's a great
so much
question.
I came up with kind of like, I talked about it a little bit on Seth's show, then kind of clarified my thoughts around it on my show. But I was like,
a solution for that? Have an L1 directory or?
No, they just need to make education the thing they sell and make their L1 staff the superheroes of that. Because focus on elevating the trainer and professionalizing the trainer, and CrossFit really beats that drum.
So just
from
get
the
rid of the affiliate conference. Program altogether?
No. It's not a binary thing like that.
No, but what he's saying, but I agree with all what you're saying.
Yeah.
But he's saying, so there's a map that you can Google CrossFit and it'll show you where there's local CrossFit gym, right?
Yeah. I don't think that should apply to the coaches.
But they don't do anything for the coaches.
Right.
And that's half their revenue, let's say, just for ease of math.
Yep, sure. Yeah. Very similar example to what I use.
And those coaches are teaching the methodology.
That's right.
And so your thing might be, this guy's saying he's loyal to the methodology. It's not so much that he doesn't want to give his private money to equity, like to get a one-time deal from them. It's just that he doesn't want to.
He doesn't feel the money's being utilized properly.
He's not happy with the leadership that he knows private equity is giving.
Right.
But he still likes the word of Greg Glassman that sits there under their control.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's an interesting one.
Well, and I was thinking too, like if you think about it and they say like Don Fall wants whatever, more people in affiliates, right?
Yeah.
Like if we make the affiliates healthy, like everybody will be happy. And I think that they're not looking at the actual problem that CrossFit the company has. They're looking at a symptom. Like the affiliates are downstream, in my opinion, of like the health of CrossFit as an ecosystem and as a company. And if they really just focused on the professionalization of the trainer to differentiate themselves amongst all the other fitness brands and make education like their thing with a lot of media behind it and making all their L1 trainers just superstars, right? I think that in turn,
is so easy to do. All you have to do is point the camera at them.
Right.
They don't got to do any acting. They just, yeah. They don't got
to
do nothing.
And tell the stories of the people that are in the L1 to excite more people to go to seminars and just solely focus on your education. More education, more offerings, tons and tons and tons and tons of free education. Should be doing podcasts on it with all these great people they have access to. Just like a lot of the stuff. So that way, when people hear CrossFit, they're like, it's synonymous with people that are leading in the industry in terms of seeing and correcting movement, being on top of, you know, training the methodology and like really being able to articulate that out to other people really well through messaging of success stories and through the coach's mouth, word of mouth directly to the people. So I think if you really focused on that, the symptom of getting all those coaches places to coach at, making them superstars, having them go into the affiliates will help rise the standard of the affiliates in total. And people will start to build their trust around CrossFit, the brand, because they're looking at it like, wow, these guys are the leaders in education, in exercise science, and everything else that has to go under that umbrella. So I think that if you focused on that piece, the symptom would be cured of people not going into CrossFit gyms and their affiliateship dying.
I could single-handedly do that.
I know you can. I've seen you do it.
I can,
I've like, watched the video.
I could single-handedly do that. Mm-hmm. I could go to the L1s. I could film them. I could tell the 20 stories. I could do the editing. I could single-handedly do that.
You still have footage that, I mean, I don't know if you talked about this publicly. You still had footage that tell the stories of really recent L1s that were happening right there, because when there wasn't any direction, you went back to what you knew was going to work, which was sticking cameras back in the seminars.
It's crazy.
Yep. Yep.
You could fire everyone. Dear Don, you could literally get rid of everyone there and I could do it for you.
Yeah. We'll elaborate more on this tomorrow.
We should start our own fitness company. I'm just kidding. Barry McCogner, we need more gay people at HQ. We need a chief diversity officer there. I mean, I could pretend to be gay. Easily. It's not even that much of it. It wouldn't even be that much of a stretch.
I'd just be more myself, really.
Yeah, exactly. Just, yeah.
Thanks for commenting on Abstract Genius comments. Thanks for commenting on my remark. Change my username.
Here's the thing, too. I would have fun doing it. Like, I would do it with all my heart, and I would do it with passion, and I would dig into every single person's story, whether it was an 80-year-old woman or a pygmy dwarf from fucking Haiti with one leg. I would crush it.
Yep.
At Sevon's request.
Wait, what? Huh?
After reading. Thanks for commenting on Abstract Genius comments. Thanks for commenting on my remark. Change my username at Sevon's request. After reading the Bible, maybe start studying the science surrounding the links between climate change, drought, forest areas being cut down, and wild animal living areas, especially on the North American areas. If not, read the novel Autumn of a Hunter by Pat Stanley, written in the 60s, where mountain lion also moves into areas of timbering and human activity due to drought. It's prey searching for water around farmed animals and their water sources. Seems like common knowledge, even when a novelist knew this. Science over superstition, Dave.
Oh my God. Oh my fucking God. Do you know that polar bears are like at a fucking 50-year high? And do you remember when it was like 20 years we were destroying their fucking habitat?
Mm-hmm. And they kept showing that one clip of a polar bear on an ice thing floating away.
Like, what? Like, this guy thinks because there was a drought and a fucking mountain lion moved somewhere else that that's fucking signs that the fucking, that there's anthropogenic global warming? Fuck, dude. From something from the 60s, dude. In 1970s, we were in sheer panic, dude, that we were going to run out of fucking gas. We were also sheer panic of overpopulation. Hey, listen, before you jackasses start talking to Dave about climate change, you have to understand he has read so many books on this. He has a stack at his house, and he's read both sides. Yeah, and you don't hear shit about the polar bears now. Of course not. Oh, my God, you fuck. Well, don't worry. Sebi, don't act surprised. These people are on their eighth booster. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I have to show you this. I know this is way. I know I should be staying on target. I apologize.
Uh-oh.
But here we go. Now, listen, the most sacred science and the realest science and the truthful science always in our lifetime, anyone who's watching the show, has always been the insurance company and actuaries. You guys realize that, right? They're like the casinos. They know how never to lose. Like, they don't give a fuck about academic science. Like, they do fucking real numbers with real hardcore predictions that have real legitimate outcomes to how rich and how big of airplanes they can buy. Insurance companies rock the house. And they rule it just like in California. After we had a bunch of fires, insurance companies are like, okay, we don't do fire insurance anymore. We're all like, what?
You're on your own.
The actuary's hardcore. Yeah. Yeah. Now listen, listen carefully. I mean, this is like a no-brainer. Here we go.
You watch life insurance trends. What you're going to find is if you are vaccinated, you can get preferred, not super preferred coverage. If you were vaccinated and double boosted, you may be able to get standard coverage. You will not get preferred. If you're vaccinated and triple boosted, you won't be able to get standard coverage. You'll be table rated. If you're quadruple boosted, you will not be able to get life insurance. You watch life insurance. Whoa.
Why the fuck do you think that is?
Oh. Because they're going to lose money on that policy.
Uh-huh.
Damn.
Uh-huh.
Damn.
My fucking God. And by the way, we are having crazy weather here in California. Like, we are getting so much rain. And in 2 years, they'll tell us we're having a drought. You know why? Because they won't save the water. There's all these laws where you got to dump the water back into the ocean for nature. There's not enough reservoirs to hold water for us, and the population is growing. I ended up back on Training Think Tank. Fuck. Oh, there we go. I really like I like those guys more and more every day, by the way. Max El Haj. I need to remember Ken's name. The handsome blonde-haired dude, buff dude.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got to get the CTP guy's name right. CPT or CTP.
CTP. Yeah, CTP. We got it.
Is that stand for like captain? Like he's captain? No, that would be CPT. I just call him captain.
Well, yeah, captain's good. That's respectable.
He is the captain.
Yeah. Well, Captain CPT. CTP.
Yeah, captain.
Him and Jeff Berman.
Jesus Christ, dude. I'm doing a fucking podcast.
Come on.
Thank you. Oh, we're almost done. Shit. Oh, God, yep. This is a long show. Here we go.
Yeah.
Start studying the science surrounding the links between climate change, drought, forest areas being...
I think we lost like 20 viewers with the vaccine talk.
They'll be back eventually.
I apologize from the bottom of my heart.
Down in wild living areas. So those three you kind of lumped together. But forest areas being cut down will definitely drive animals from their habitat. Droughts will too, but droughts are... So forest areas being cut down, not burned down, but cut down, are something that we do to the environment. Droughts are something that come and go and are common throughout millennia, throughout the history of the universe, of the world. It's a little different, and animals have learned to adapt to the drought scenarios. Yes, they go to where finding water and climate change. So here's the thing: when you say climate change, the climate changes, and the climate always changes, and climate has been changing for as long as this planet has been around. I assume you mean anthropogenic climate change, which is human-caused climate change.
You can't assume that. The guy fucking is talking about a fucking documentary he saw in the 60s.
Yeah, that dude has no idea.
Yeah, Alejandro, these are the same people that say getting fit is fascist. Exactly.
If that's what you mean, I would love to see your science around that and the wild animals, it driving wild animals.
The insurance companies have all your billing info. Even the people at HR at your work have it. I'll never forget when the fucking HR lady at fucking CrossFit was telling me that our highest expenditure at CrossFit Inc. was psychiatric drugs. Like, that's what the staff were using. That was our highest expenditure for staff, psychiatric drugs. Like, they see, like, everyone sees your shit. How do the insurance companies have access to HIPAA info? They see everything.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and the company can attack you. They know who it is too. It's not that shit's not anonymous. Yeah, what the fuck? I know. Everyone knows. HR people are fucking evil. And I don't use that word lightly.
Away from the living areas. Team quarterfinals wrapping up now. So pretty cool seeing all the community and the teams that are trying to get to semifinals competing. Next up will be the individual and age group quarterfinals starting soon. And I'm excited about that. I've been training and I feel good. I've been following CAP, CrossFit affiliate programming. We actually put the CAP daily workout on the main site. I'm sorry, on the CrossFit Games app. So if you go to the CrossFit Games app and look at the workout, it'll show you. Actually, that's not even CAP. I'm sorry. That's the workout of the day. I was following the workout of the day currently. So really enjoying it and having a good time with those workouts. And I heard recently from some friends that Frazier.
What did he say? I heard recently from Frazier.
I heard recently from some friends that Frazier.
Wow. I like his outfit. It's growing on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like something he would like a It could either be cheap or be really rich.
For the third time on this podcast, I'd like to retract something I said. I like it. I take back anything I made fun of it in the beginning.
It's like a shooting vest.
Yeah. Handsome. Davey, look handsome.
Of the day currently. So really enjoying it and having a good time with those workouts. And I heard recently from some friends that Frazier basically said he knows that we, something along the lines of, he knows we change the games and the workouts to hinder his performance, let's say, or to try to hurt his efforts. That is a bold assertion, and I'm here to say that is not true. But if you're going to make an assertion like that, the burden of proof lies with him, not with us. So if he's going to say something like that, prove it. Show us what you have. Tell us what you think happened, and then I'll respond to that too. But there's something unique about making a statement like that, because that assumes that every action, everything we programmed, everything we did at the games was focused on one man and not the totality of there's 80 other individual athletes there. And to think we were making decisions on programming and or changes. And—
okay, I admit it. I have to tell you guys something.
Here we go.
That year at the games that I stood in front of the clock, I did it on purpose.
You were a plant, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
And or
knew it.
Potential outcome.
That's not true.
To target one individual, that's unique. We specifically, over the years that I've programmed, never think of individuals when programming the games. You think of what the best are capable of as a collective, but you don't think of an individual man or woman when doing that. So I don't care if he responds or does respond, but frankly, at this point, it's on him to prove that reckless statement. Let's just say that.
Wow. All right.
That's the week in review. Thanks for.
Wow.
Reckless statement.
if someone else would have said that, Dave wouldn't have responded. Obviously, he's responding to Matt because Matt is at the top of the pyramid, top of the food chain, over 2 million followers on Instagram, monster programming. Same thing with Rich. He's going to tussle with it. He doesn't want to punch down. I used to go to all of the, I've been involved in tons of, what's that called when they test the workouts? I have been to tons of times where him and Adrian and a bunch of athletes are testing workouts hours and hours and hours. I don't know, hundreds of hours of that. And then been in meetings where I'm in the room and they're talking about programming or whatnot. I never heard one athlete ever reference like, oh, can Vellner do that? Or can so-and-so do that? Or never, not even like joking. Mm-hmm. Did Matt influence the programming subconsciously? Well, I mean, I would have to say for sure. Tia, I'm assuming everyone there, everyone at the event, like on one extreme, they all affect it. Because if they could all run a 4.5 minute mile, there would be something to test that. I mean, it's within their capacity or their perceived capacity. So on some level, everyone. But I did see that Matt said that.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that Matt thrived off of being the underdog, so he liked having whether that was true or not.
Yeah.
I think Matt has been very clear on what motivates him.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm not a fucking idiot and I'm the foremost expert in CrossFit alive today, I can bring that knowledge to you so that you could have compassion for Matt in that statement that he's the 5-time fittest man in the world. And he had stories like that about him. He told himself stories like that in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with that.
No. And I also,
even though I think it's complete horseshit.
Yeah. And when,
as a fact,
once he tells him, yeah, Once he tells himself that story too, he's going to find things to fit that narrative. Like we all do as human beings, right? Like, was that a ghost over there? Yeah, it was a ghost. And the next guy's like, yeah, I saw the shot. And then we start like filling in the gaps in the
story. Sousa was late to the podcast, but he was 3 minutes early. I know, but normally he's 5 minutes early. He's late.
Right. So it's late. Yeah. Like we find stuff to like justify or fill in the gaps to tell that story to make sure that it's more like credible and believable in our minds. I think that his name was brought up in programming no more than anybody else's name would be when you're talking about some specific workout that, hey, how do you think Vellner would do in something like this? Okay, what do you think so-and-so would do? Like, as you would address the field, like you're saying, right? And we've heard specifics where Dave will have a workout where you complete a set amount of work and then you do a bunch of reps and then the rest portion like cuts you off and you have to rest a minute, go back, and then you do the work and then you try to complete the reps up to like 60 total or something, right? Where it's advancing. And we've heard him say on camera, like, well, fuck, I hope this takes T or somebody like that 3 rounds. I don't want him to blow through it in 2.
Oh, right.
So there'll be certain things where they'll think about those type of high level, but no more than they do like with the specialties on the runs and the swims and those names change, right?
Right.
So and I just think that's just good programming.
And you're right. They know that the workout has to be in a 20-minute time domain. So they have to figure out, hey, how fast will Tia do this? Or how fast will the fastest group do this? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, along those lines. You're absolutely right. Like that was a perfect example. What was that event? They had to carry a yoke. If you couldn't get it done, is that what you're referencing?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the exact workout where I heard him like talk about that. And that's just programming. Like I do that at the gym. Like I think about, okay, who's my like fifth best athlete? Like, will this workout push them a little bit? What time would they finish at and stuff? So
what weight?
Yeah. What do I want to make this person feel like? Like what's the stimulus of the workout? And then you build it to kind of this avatar person, which I'm sure they use across all their workouts. Like you have to. And they're thinking about the field in terms of pushing them. Dave's always just put it out in front of them a little bit further than they think they're capable. And in order to do that, you have to know the totality of the field, what they're capable, where they're at, where their strengths, where their weaknesses are. And Dave's been notorious about pulling stuff that we were really heavy. Everybody's geared their programming to really heavy stuff. Then one regionals, there was no barbell at all. And like threw a complete curveball. So yeah, I don't. And I think it's the way Matt said it. It was his tone. That really got Dave because he said, I know for a fact.
Oh, but I don't think Dave heard that.
Oh, well, then that's just filling in the gaps of my own story. See,
well,
happening right now.
Well, I think if he would have heard it, he would have said. He said he heard.
Who did?
But maybe he's seen Hiller's video now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's because that's where I saw the clip from Hiller's Instagram.
I watched it on Brian's live, and it definitely caught my attention, too. Sevi, what was the real reason the Matt Sevan Josh podcast ended? Was Matt just a douche? No, that it wasn't just a Matt being a douche. Basically, it's exactly what's happening here. Matt did not want to, Matt wanted to do, he wanted to share himself, but he didn't want to take abuse. I'm making this up. I don't know this for sure, but he didn't want to say stuff like that or, he didn't want to do the back and forth with the world. And I don't blame him for that. So here you have someone like me on a show with him, and I can go anywhere in my mind almost. There's only a couple dark corners. And then you have someone who really wants to stay in his lane, right? And so if I were to ask him about that, I could have easily asked him. He probably said that same thing on the Matt Sevan Josh podcast before, right? And so because he's the big dog, and because anything he says, even if he whispers it, he's on the mountaintop, so we all hear it. I think he got tired. I think he thought, hey, I'm 20 episodes in, I'm having fun, but I'm just not happy with just getting fucking ass pounded in the comments for shit that I say. And I think that's why he's been hidden so long. I think that's why he stays more quiet. I think he doesn't, it's like probably the Mal thing, to be completely frank, probably really affected him. He probably was all in with her. I personally think that Matt has cracked the code on how to win the games. And so we had two people go up there and try to do it, and they couldn't. The training was too hard to do. And so I think he feels, I don't know how he feels, but I think that that's a lot to process. You had Jason Hopper and Mal O'Brien up there, and he's like, here's the code, and somewhere it broke them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know what kind of shit he has you do, hide in a dark closet, but we know the regiment was crazy. We know the isolation is crazy for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And And so, but, yeah, he didn't want to get ass pounded in the comments. Yeah. He's tired of it. And so if he told me why, basically he went dark on me for 3 months and then, you know, I kind of caught the gist of it. But that kind of sucked, but I think maybe he was processing. And then finally I heard from Josh. Hey, I think Josh told him, "Hey Matt, you got to call Sevan, tell him what's up." And Matt called me and he goes, "Hey, I'm done." And it was probably better for the both of us because I felt a little, I enjoyed doing it with him. I would love to still do it with him, but I felt when I talk to Matt, I can feel his bumpers, you know, there's people I can feel their bumpers. And there's other people where it's just like, yeah, fucking pedophiles should all be put in a spaceship and flown to Pluto. Like Matt didn't want to have that talk.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to talk about the difference between using the word illegal aliens and migrants.
And, you know, like you said, he's a mountaintop, so he's got a target on his back.
Right. Or if he does want to talk about that, he's not, there's repercussions. You know what I mean? Someone like, you're like fucking, you say something nice about melanated people and Reddit starts a thread on you that you're fucking racist. You fucking glorify women and love women and you're a fucking misogynist. I mean, you have to be prepared for, I mean, we are surrounded by retards. Shit. Yep. Remember, there's words that terrify people and thoughts that fucking make them want to kill.
Look over at anytime Rich posts a hunting photo and you'll see them all come out.
Yeah, it's nuts. Mm-hmm. So Matt was like, fuck that. I ain't doing that. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
And that's his prerogative. And hey, you know what? As a community of people, like civilization, that's the repercussions of behaving like that. Then we don't like... Would you rather hear Matt's thoughts and not judge him negatively, or hear Matt's thoughts, judge him negatively, and have him pick up his toys and fucking leave the sandbox? Because that's what he did. Mm-hmm. So, that's that. The thing is, too. Here, I'll say this too. If I were to give advice to Matt, I would pull fucking Donald Trump. I would just stay always in the news feed. With always kind of like this and lean into shit. Like I'd start a podcast where I eat a Snicker bar in every podcast. You know what I mean? And just like if he wants to or just stay super low profile. Or but if you're going to, the thing with Donald Trump is one day he's saying he grabbed your pussy, the next day he's shooting 3-point fucking shots into a crowd of poor people, you know, with paper towels. The next day he's like, fucking I'd pick a Jew over a black guy and a Chinese guy to be my accountant. I mean, you gotta keep the shit up.
Yeah.
And if you do that, fucking, I mean, look at Hiller,
right?
You can know nothing he does sticks because he's fucking
on to the next thing, on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, he should just finish, and he could finish every podcast. And don't forget, I'm the 5-time champ for a reason. Peace out.
Bitches.
Yeah. All right. Love you guys. See you tomorrow morning. Jake Berman.
Nailed it.
We'll be here tomorrow morning, stepping into our den. The home of Colton Mertens, the Sevan podcast. Let's sweet talk Jake. He'll lower his guard. And then we'll pounce. By the way, Jake, I believe, also is a very successful businessman. That's actually what I'm more curious about than anything.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I'm excited to hear it.
All right. Love you guys. Thanks, Sousa. Thank you, Caleb. Where the fuck is Caleb?